Will you pray for the one who preaches? His sins are many. Let us pray. Gracious and merciful and holy God, may something of what is said and done and seen and heard here from this place on this broadcast this morning be of you and your work in our lives and in this your world. In your holy name we ask this. Amen. Be still. Be still and know. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be. A couple of Sundays ago, I was getting ready for church. I was sitting in my office. It was just after 8 a.m. Casey Curley and Courtney Williams were the ushers helping set up for the outdoor service on that Sunday. They had just arrived to get ready for the outdoor service, which was going to begin at 9 a.m. And I'd opened up my closet, and this robe that I'm wearing right now was looking a little wrinkled. So I took it down to the dryer that we have down there in the kitchen, and I just, you know, tossed it in. And then I walked back to my office to get to work. So I was sitting there in my office and I was reading over my sermon and the prayer list for that day when I kind of heard this, felt this slight mechanical rumble. Is something going on with the AC? I thought, oh no, maybe something's wrong with the dryer. I better go check on it. So I left my office and I made my way down the hall. But by the time I got halfway down the hall, the sound had stopped. And I went and checked on the dryer and it looked like everything was fine. So I went back to my office and I resumed reading my sermon. And at about 8:58 a.m., I stepped out of my office to lead the worship service outdoors. And it went well. And then I went back inside and I sat down and I picked up my phone and I had a text from Meg. And she said, did you feel the earthquake? There had been an earthquake. An earthquake here in North Carolina. It happened in Sparta, North Carolina, which is right on the Virginia border, kind of north of Winston-Salem, about 175 miles or so from here as the crow flies. It registered a 5.1 on the Richter scale, which in the grand scheme of earthquakes is not very much. But that's enough to be felt, which here in North Carolina can really freak you out because we don't have earthquakes in North Carolina. That's not a thing that happens. What I felt in my office this morning had been so slight that there was no way to actually tell if what I felt was really the earthquake or if maybe it was actually an issue with the air conditioner or the dryer that just sorted itself out. I do know that the one other earthquake that I've been in, the one that struck in Virginia in 2011 when I lived in Richmond, felt much the same way, at least as it began. You would never have guessed that it was an earthquake if you'd never been in one before. You might have mistaken it for an AC malfunctioning or turning on. But whether it actually was the earthquake or not, of course it was the earthquake because it's 2020, right? Why wouldn't we have an earthquake considering everything else that's going on? By any stretch of the imagination, this has been the craziest year ever. Presidential election, a presidential impeachment trial. Yes, that was this year. A global pandemic, racial injustice, protests, riots and looting, murder hornets, double hurricanes hitting the Gulf at the same time, and earthquakes happening in North Carolina. It's basically an apocalyptic bingo card, and it might seem as if Psalm 46 says that the earth is giving away and the mountains are falling into the sea. The waters are roaring and foaming and the mountains are quaking at their surging. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms are falling. The earth is melting. Behold the desolation of the Lord. This is a psalm about what you do when the world falls apart. And this is what it tells you to do when the earth melts away and the world falls apart. It says, be still. Be still and know. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be.
For God is your refuge and your strength. God is an ever-present help in times of trouble. I don't know about you, but I have found for myself that when life gets complicated, I get busy. Back in March and April, when this pandemic was still fresh, and we were under a shelter-in-place order, kind of had these visions of using this time as a kind of pause. I even preached about it a few times. You might remember. I imagined it being a kind of reset for us spiritually, a chance to recalibrate, a chance for us to maybe reorient our lives and think about what's really important, maybe let go of things that don't really matter. I saw potential for this season to be a time for getting our lives straight again, getting our world straight again, maybe. Letting go of some of the tribal things, trivial things that worry me and worry all of us. And sure, there is still going to be a lot to worry and a lot to fear in the world, I thought, back in April and March. Lots of uncertainty ahead. But at the same time, maybe this is the kick in the butt we need to just come together and gain some perspective. And that's not really how things have worked out, at least for me. That's not how this time has really gone. For me, if anything, things have been busier, way busier. This has not been a pause. It's been more like a fast forward. It's not been a reset. It's been more like a spilling and turning over of the fruit basket. There has been no recalibration and reorientation, despite my best intentions. Instead, I have found myself putting out fires, and then putting out another fire, and then putting out another fire, because the fires keep on getting lit and keep coming from somewhere. I found myself stressed to the max as I'm trying to adjust to an ultimately impossible situation. I have found myself trying to take two steps forward, then all of a sudden finding myself taking three steps back. It's frustrating, and we're not coming together and getting along better. My rhythm, our rhythm, has been thrown out completely. People are at each other's necks, and there still have been a ton of things that we're so far behind on, responsibilities we continue to juggle and try to struggle to get right. So what are we supposed to do? In the Bible, of course, one of the 10 big commandments is thou shalt remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Sabbath is one of those commandments that on the surface everyone can appreciate, because everyone needs that pause from time to time. Everyone needs that break. Everyone needs a vacation, a day off, a chance to reorient and recalibrate, a moment of rest. Otherwise, if you don't take one, you run the risk of getting burned out. And that's how the world felt before all of this, that we were on the verge of getting burned out. Still kind of feel that way. But I think if you dig a little deeper into this biblical idea of Sabbath, you're going to find that it's actually a little bit more, and it's not so easy. The biblical practice of Sabbath is not about self-care. I hear a lot of people talk about that these days. It's not about taking care of yourself. And don't get me wrong, self-care is not bad. Taking care of yourself is not a bad thing to do. It's something you should do. It's just that's not what Sabbath is, according to the Bible. Sabbath is something different. It's something deeper. When you take a Sabbath, you're not supposed to be taking care of yourself, because you're not supposed to be taking care of anything at all. Not your job, not your family, not yourself. Sabbath is a time when you are supposed to just be. And be still. And be still and know. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be. Sabbath is a time where you are supposed to just sit back and for once let God
take care of everything and everyone, including you. Eugene Peterson, one of my favorite pastors and authors, puts it this way. He says, the point of a Sabbath is to get yourself out of the way. If you don't take a Sabbath, then something's wrong. And the thing that's wrong isn't that you're just doing too much. It's that you're being too much in charge. But life is not ours to be in charge of. So we've got to quit at least one day a week and just watch what God is doing while we aren't doing anything at all. Man, it strikes me that this is true. I don't know about you and how you've been managing with the world falling apart lately, but I know that for me, the problem hasn't been that I'm doing too much. The problem is that I'm trying to be too much in charge. I have been so busy trying to put out fires, run from crisis to crisis, juggling all the things that I'm supposed to be taking care of, that maybe I'm not watching for what God is doing in this crazy world and letting God take care of me. So, as I said at the beginning of this broadcast today, we aren't coming to you live. This sermon is being recorded on Wednesday evening. And next week, the plan is for us to begin offering a gathering here in this sanctuary once again for worship, of course, with a number of serious precautions. And of course, we'll continue to bring you a broadcast of that service. I am both nervous and excited about this transition. There's a lot to take care of to make it happen. But right now, as you are watching this on Sunday morning, I'm not preaching. I'm taking the day off, and not to take care of myself, no, but to let God take care of me. And wherever you are and wherever you're watching from, I hope this Sabbath will be that for you too. Because my prayer for us, for myself and for you and for all of us on this Sabbath morning, is that as the waters roar and foam, and as the mountains quake into the sea, and as nations are in uproar, and kingdoms fall, and the earth melts away, and the world falls apart, that we might just accept the invitation that God has given us here in Psalm 46, which is to be still. Be still and know. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be. For the Lord is our refuge and our strength. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we turn to Him and ask it. Amen.